I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 20. We are here again in Casa de Worsham. I don't know why I say Casa de Worsham. It's not like we're ever going back to the Quack Quack Com. Well, we will. We will eventually. Already sidetracked, not even 30 seconds in. Here with me, Tommy Riles of, what's the name of the website again?
Lifeofdad.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got to get right on.
Oh, yeah. Lifeofdad.com.
Lifeofdad.com. Now, tell me about the, because I am curious about this because, and I'm afraid, well, no, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Let me get this out of my system. Go. Tommy already was talking, we were talking a little bit about it, the accident that I got in the vitriol. Mm-hmm. And I was honestly really, really afraid because we'd booked this, we'd planned this for a while. Mm-hmm. And 3 hours ago, I found out that this piece of garbage of a human being that ran a red light is saying that he didn't run the red light, that I ran the red light. So the reason I want to say this is so I don't forget is that if anybody ever finds himself in a similar situation where you see somebody who saw you get in an accident, then you get their information and their name. And if you use your smartphone to record them giving their version of the story, do it and have them on that video because you can just email that to your insurance company now and there will never be a problem. But because I felt sorry for this guy because he looked like he felt sad, I didn't do any of this stuff. There was a guy within 5 feet of me that I could have said. So what does all this mean? What all this means is that some garbage of a sorry excuse of a human being ran a red light, destroyed my car, and now is just going to get to walk away scot-free unless I can find a witness in the next couple days, and don't think I'm not going to try.
That's actually a really interesting call to, I haven't been in an accident in a while, which is a great thing, but yeah. To actually record, to go right up to the after and say, hey man, tell me
what happened. Well, that's what because when I found this out, I thought he was just dragging his feet because he didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, because it's been 2 weeks now since the accident. So mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, he doesn't care. So I left him a nice voicemail and said, hey, man, it would really help me out if you could just take 10 minutes. I go, I know, you know, you're busy, I'm sure. And I'm trying to be, again, Mr. Nice Guy. And the part that makes it worse for me is that I got I could technically just go get a rental car. They tell you that you have to be prepared to pay for that first, but they're liable for it. So they would have to reimburse me. But I didn't do that. Why? Because I'm not a dick. I didn't want to hose the insurance company mm-hmm. unnecessarily. I didn't want to spend somebody else's money like it was mine. And it kind of worked out that I didn't do that because that would just be money that I would be out until I can either prove that through a witness or something or take this guy to court and find that, you know, they could find this wrong. But now it's just hearsay, I say, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I took out my camera phone or my camera and my phone, and I was taking pictures of the car damage so I could give it to my insurance company. I wish to God I would just say, hey, can real quick just tell me what you think happened just now?
Right.
And he would have been hosed. There's nothing that he could say or do and say, I'd be glad to do the same and email it to you right here in front of you or send it to you, whatever you want to do. Yeah. Oh, it was so frustrating. It's just so frustrating. But, stupid taxpayer.
You have to have him on the show after all this is said and done. You know, and start up a new show, you know, the douche podcast, where you have one person that's a douche on. They don't know that that's the name of the show, but he's your guest.
He's
on
just
the show.
My guest. And that's what I was afraid of. I was afraid that I was going to, because I was yelling, and I was in a really shitty mood, to be quite honest. And I'm like, and I was just like, and then it got worse with my poor wife. Like, I go to pick her up at work because, hey, we don't have two banging cars. And so then she's like screwing around with her people that she works with and going, well, I'm getting advice on criminal stuff. And I'm like, I'm sitting here with two screaming kids trying to pick you up from work. Like, get your butt down here. And, you know, it's not her fault either, but it's just, you know, everybody's in a crummy mood. So
hey, your love carried you through this.
That's right. And it has to.
Your marriage, your kids, everything's going to be all right.
So that's all I want to say about that. Oh, and before I forget, too, because you'd said you'd already heard the episode with Pete, which is a lot of fun. I like that guy. But anyway, somebody, Juan, I think he's a listener from South Africa. He said that the reason why sippy cups will rot out is because the kid's saliva actually gets, it's like backwash, and the saliva starts to break down the milk. So he was, because I don't know if you remember, but he was saying that he puts it in the fridge and it still feels like it's got a little funk to it.
Right.
And so his thing is backwash is breaking, in a sense, digesting the milk while it's sitting in the fridge, which I thought was gross and interesting.
They know their sippy cups down there in South Africa.
That's where they make them.
So many facts.
And I hope I didn't already cover this, but he also sent me the same thing about facts as to why babies smile. We'll talk about it later.
That's from Juan as well.
Yeah, Juan as well.
Big said,
I like that Juan is from South Africa because I want to say South America, and it's going to be even funnier if I'm wrong.
Right.
And it's South America, not South Africa. But I could have sworn, or maybe his last name was sounded like Johannesburg, and that's where it's coming in my head. But yeah, it says something like, he goes, oh, neonatal smiling occurs from birth to 1 month of age and shows no emotional content. Smiles are spontaneous and often occur while the baby is drowsy or during REM stages of sleep. Baby smiles are subcortical in origin and will actually decrease with maturity. So premature babies smile more than full-term babies. And contrary to popular belief, baby smiles have nothing to do with gas. I would have liked that if it would have said it has to do with the father's love like I want. But whoa. Something just got magical there. I don't know
Fantastic.
What the hell was. All right. So that's all my stupid, pointless housekeeping out of the way. So let's talk about Life of Dad.
Yes, sir.
This is a podcast as well as a social network type site
for dads?
That's
correct. So, well, it started, it's actually, it's a sad story if you don't mind at first. But my daughter was born with a heart defect. She had open heart surgery at 3 days old. So this site started as me just kind of a blog updating my friends and family on her health and you know, as you can imagine, that's the scariest time a kid could possibly go through. But she excelled through it. She was out of the hospital 2 weeks later. Now she's 2.5 years old, super healthy, amazing kid. She's in preschool. She's fantastic. She has no restrictions, so it's not a sad thing at all anymore. But that's how the
site
started.
But at the time, you're like, oh, yeah, that's your first kid.
Right. Yeah, it was impossible. It was, you know, that... I think I just said it, but I'll say it again. It makes you and your wife and your family, seeing the strength that your daughter or son, if your son or daughter went through that, seeing the strength that they have, it just makes you a much stronger person. If they can make it through it, we've got to stay tough and make it through this as well. So that's kind of how the site started, just kind of updating my friends and family on her health and all that. But I have a comedy background, so I always wanted to do a funny site for parents. It was a little challenging, actually, to transfer from that into comedy.
Almost like a news anchor where you have to do like a bus crash and then the fluff story.
So then I just started doing a lot of I do a lot of videos on the site too, and people started to take interest in it. Then I was actually on, I work for the Ellen Show, so I was on Ellen sharing my story of my daughter's birth and all that, and then that spiraled, brought some momentum to the site, and a lot of people watching the videos, funny videos, and just fun stuff. And then over the past couple of years, so the site's exactly as old as my daughter, so it's 2.5 years old now. And the past couple of years, I have a couple of partners on the site now. We do videos. We do the Life of Dad Show podcast. There's a couple other podcasts on there as well. And it's become the social network for dads where any dad can join and connect with other dads and start their own blog and start their own podcast, do whatever they do. It's the place where dads can hang out.
Yeah, and did you know that's kind of what the genesis of this show is, that it's interesting to me that we live in a generation where I think, in my opinion, dads are more involved in all aspects of parenting than ever before.
Absolutely.
But there aren't a lot of resources or any kind of community out there. There's nothing. Yeah. And I don't know if that's a male sense of brain where it's like, oh, just do it, or if it's... if it's just indicative of that it's a new thing or what, but there's literally nothing out there. So I imagine that when it does happen, then there's dads who... because it is interesting, too, to me. Like, you feel so lost. Did you feel that way when you're starting out? I still have it to this day. Like, and there's this weird thing that you have to do, I feel, that you have to just find a sense of comfort and go, you know what? I'm doing everything I can the way I think it should be done. And you have to walk this line between feeling like is what I'm doing the right thing, or is it messing them up? Because am I being too gruff? Am I not gruff enough? Like,
right?
And I don't, do you, here's what I guess I'm really asking. Do you wrestle with that stuff too?
I would say so. I think you're never, you got a cell phone.
We got callers
coming
in.
Is that you or is that me?
No, that's...
So many people listening and wanting to know that.
That's just another moment in my day is that now the office line is ringing. I hate today.
Right.
I'm glad you're here, Tom.
Juan, is that you, Juan? Are you on the line?
Yeah. He's calling. He's saying, right. I'm in South America, you jackass.
This isn't even live. How do you do this, Juan? Amazing.
I sent a tweet to you today saying, I can't wait for your next podcast. You can't remember what country I live in, you son of a bitch. I wish it was one. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Now I've lost my...
I was asking, do you struggle with, like, do you ever have that feeling, like, are you doing the right thing or not doing the right thing? Or
I actually tried to read a couple dad books before the baby came to prepare us in some way. And I think they helped a little bit for sure. But, absolutely. I think any parent at first, they have no idea what the heck they're doing. You know, they may read what was in the book and try to go along those ways. But the first time you're trying to sleep train your baby, if that happens to be your choice, mm-hmm. The first time you're...
Did you do that?
We did.
How did that go? I should ask first. What did you do? Did you do the thing where you let them kind of cry it out?
We did the cry. You know, and it's always challenging. I mean, I feel like, and maybe it's different in your situation, but my wife, amazing woman, and you know, she had a harder time with it. I think typically guys can do it a little bit easier because they are just thinking, you know what, best case scenario, baby sleeps, which means we sleep, and everyone's going to be a happier person because of that. But my wife wants to comfort the baby and take care of her, so there was a tad bit of conflict as that all that was going on, of course, you know.
Yeah.
But eventually it happened and it worked and she started, and our daughter Barbara started sleeping 12 hours a night. So
that's a great name. I like that. Yeah. It's kind of an old school name.
It sure is. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, named after her her grandmother and her other great grandmother on my side. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I Babs. Like the name Barbara.
We call her
Babs.
And that's an 80-year-old's
awesome.
Nickname, but
I like that. That's kind of why we did Jack with the youngest one. I wanted kind of like an old school. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, her preschool teacher say they've never had a Barbara in the 20 years they've
you
been
don't
teaching.
Hear about that as a kid. Like my mother-in-law's named Barbara. That's funny. I've never had such a smile on my face to the reaction
Babs.
Named Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara.
Because of my mother-in-law mostly.
But she shouldn't be named Barbara because she's only 2 and a half, but she is anyway.
That's what we thought about Jack. That's so funny. Yeah, we tried the sleep training. It kind of blew up in our face where my wife, when I was gone on the road, did the thing where she's like, okay, you let him cry for 15, I think it's 5 minutes, and then you pick him up and then calm him down, put him back down, let him cry for 10 minutes and then 15. He got to the point where while his eyes were closed, this is my oldest Jacob, while his eyes were closed, he could feel when I walked into the threshold of his room and just start crying.
Yeah.
And then I literally could step back into the hallway and he'd go, and then like that. And so it didn't work for us. And that's the part that I think, for me, I didn't sit there and look at go, why can't I sleep train? I look at it and go, this is why parenting is such a freaking challenge.
Yeah.
Because you don't, there is no real answer. There is for every, because every person is to a certain degree unique in their own person.
Right.
I think there's a lot of commonalities. Like if you take a mass of a million people, you're going to find a ton of similarities, but there is this little bit of difference that there's no way to have a way to do it.
Right. Yeah.
And yet that isn't even taught. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there isn't enough emphasis in schools to say, hey, guess what? Just be around and hug your kids and, you know, you'll figure out the rest. It'll feel what's right. You'll kind of do what your parents do. Just have that kind of conversation going.
Right.
I didn't have any of that. Did you have any of that at all?
No.
Like maybe
always,
from your parents?
Yeah,
at all?
Always people trying to give you opinions. And I feel like the best advice I ever got was, and I heard it from multiple places and read it multiple places, just be there. You know, if you're there, everyone's going to have their own way, whether they're going to sleep train, whether they're going to feed their baby fruits or vegetables first or whatever, you know what I mean?
No high fructose corn syrup, no sugar, no sweets.
But you even can. I mean, if you do, the kid's going to survive. As long as you're there and you're a parent and a good parent, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to work out.
Yeah,
how many kids get sick from having too much high, you know, corn fructose syrup or whatever at the beginning? Probably not that many.
It's funny because I always laugh at myself about that. But it's like I'll let my kid pretty much eat whatever, and I always laugh at people that are like, "No, it's only soy products or whatever."
Right.
Yet I have organic milk. That's
I just feel bad for the voices that those people have with it.
Whoa, right? It's
soy
so sad.
Product. Yeah,
that should be really their biggest problem.
Right? Don't worry about my kids.
Yeah, it's not what your kids
listen
eating.
To the way
it's
you're
listening
talking
to your voice.
The soy products. Work on that, man.
You're some stupid Jerry Lewis impression through your entire life. cut it out and just relax right. and lower your voice or something. Yeah. Just good, good is annoying. And why do you babble at the end of all of your sentence? Like right. you'll start to say, oh, we like boogie, boogie,
boogie. I hate them.
When? Use punctuation, jackass. I agree with you,
They could be on the Deuce Show. Episode number 2.
I really, really wanted to. God, I would love to. When they told me he was going to be, they were going to talk to him, I wanted to tell that insurance guy, go, let me go. I want to look him in the eyes when he tells you that I ran the red light. I know I'm coming back to it, but I do kind of feel like it relates to fatherhood, is that what happens when parents aren't there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you can raise a person who will just be a piece of garbage.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're not invested and not present. And in all seriousness, though, I think I said this before we turned on the microphones. I really don't know what his situation is. For all I know, I could be the selfish one. And he's like, my entire world will collapse because I lose insurance, or I don't know. Maybe he's struggling a lot more than I am, and maybe I'm entirely wrong, but from my perspective, it sucks. But I don't know his story, so maybe I should just shut up and move on.
Hey, when I'm a guest on a show, I want to give the host a gift. So I brought a couple gifts, and actually, since it's a dad podcast, I brought a couple gifts for your kids, if you don't mind.
Thank you. Yeah, no, of course.
And I actually wasn't sure if you had a son or a daughter, or I knew you had two kids, but I wasn't sure if they were both boys or both girls. Yeah. So I have one gift for a boy and one gift for a girl.
I have nothing for your kids. I apologize.
That's all right.
I apologize. Wow, what a nice guy. You must.
If you had a girl. You're getting this anyway. Maybe someday. This is the Tinkerbell and the Pixie Hollow Games. Tinkerbell.
Look at that.
Doll. Congratulations.
It's like a Tinkerbell Barbie with a nice little, what is that? I guess bedazzled, I would call that.
Uh-huh.
Rhinestone-y green dress.
And I don't know the plan that you and your wife have. So if you're not going to have more kids, you are going to go to a little girl's birthday party someday.
At some point.
Probably in the next month.
I have been tapped out.
Oh, you're out? Okay.
I'm out. So, I was going to ask you, may I re-gift?
I prefer that you re-gift. I don't want you to keep any of this stuff. So much better off re-gifting.
Don't keep any of this stuff. But I like this.
Yeah.
A Tinker Fairy.
Yeah.
Pixie Hollow Games? Oh, is that like they do the... I've seen this cartoon on Disneyland. Have you seen this? Or you have a daughter?
No. But she's
not here yet.
She's hardcore Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and she won't move beyond that. And we don't mind that.
It's an all right show. After, in the middle of the day, this is when this will come on. So sometimes in the afternoon, we'll chill out before my little one takes a second nap. And it's still on Disney from our Mickey Mouse Clubhouse Adventures. And they play this movie again and again and again. And for whatever reason, the fairies of different elements will compete against each other.
Right.
And they try to win. And I can't remember how Tinkerbell is. I'm going to have to watch this movie again now.
You can keep that for yourself. That's where this is heading. I mean, first option would be to give it to a girl whose birthday
I
was.
Think
but
I,
if you
th-
like
no
the
girl's
show
gonna
that
enjoy
much.
That piece of cinema as much as I just. That is a quality film.
Right.
I don't know if you've known this, but a lot of people like to talk about Toy Story and the computer animation. No, it's all about the Pixie Hollow games. Mm-hmm. With the Tinkerbell movie, I might watch it and just snuggle up with her.
Yeah.
When the kids are away, I don't want them
I'm
to try to take it.
I'm actually thinking of taking that gift back with me.
Why? What happened? That's kind of awkward.
Yeah.
If you're...
All right. I'm going to move on. I'm going to bring on the male gift. So you have one boy who is of school age. So this is a backpack. It's called Arctic Kid. I didn't pay for any of this stuff, by the way. So don't. Feel bad if you re-gift it or don't want it or whatever.
Okay. Well, you talk about the gift because then I want to know where it came from.
Yeah, but this seems to be a pretty cool backpack, and it's for a young man.
So it has an insulated pouch for a lunch? Is that the situation here?
I haven't even messed with it that much. We've got some sort of buckle.
So a
right
lot
here.
Of thought went into these gifts, is what you're saying.
Zipper. Now, your son, is he in preschool? Or?
Yes, he is in preschool.
Does he have a backpack? Are they allowed to bring backpacks? Or?
They bring a lunchbox and a sippy cup is what he brings.
So maybe when kindergarten comes along.
Well, I did tell him that he would get a new lunchbox if he went in. My kid doesn't want to go into the big kid class. She's not in preschool yet.
She actually did. It's way early, but it's almost more for us to have her be gone for 3 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's at 2 days a week. She's at a preschool. And they start at, you can start at 2.5 at this preschool. So that's
mine
what
too.
She did. So,
and I kind of wish I had started earlier, to be honest with you. I just didn't think it was necessary until they got older. But it's funny. How was your experience when you go how long ago did she start?
Just about a week and a half ago. So
look at this. It has a strap.
There you
go.
It
has a strap to hold the kid's iPad or laptop if he has a netbook.
Yeah.
Yeah, preschool needs a netbook. How else are they going to play Angry Birds? Thank you. You're very kind.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to your preschool.
Yeah. Yeah, she started two Tuesdays ago. And we had met with her teacher the week before, and she loved meeting the teacher. There was a bunny rabbit in the classroom, so she was excited about that.
Wow.
And there was a tea party set up so she could have a tea party and all that. So she loved meeting the teacher. But the night before her first day at school, she started getting butterflies, and she started faking a fever.
Really?
So her fever came to 103.
Smart.
Yeah, yeah. 103.5. Somehow she was able to get her body temperature up that high, and then she started... This is all true. And then she started vomiting as well. And she vomited all night long.
I'm so mad that I fell for this.
Yeah.
So we had to go into her room.
And, I mean, there were multiple baths throughout the night because she threw up all over herself. And we were running the laundry all night long. All this because she did not want to go to school.
Smart. Wow. Yeah, that's a smart kid.
She is, yeah.
But you made her go, right? You did the right thing.
Well, I wanted to, but the teachers were very clear.
It's more the wife doing the coddling. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like, you're sitting there going... She's fine. You're faking it. Just get your butt in the car. Let's go.
Yeah. The teachers made it quite clear that if they have fever or vomiting, don't bring them in for 24 hours. So we didn't want to get kicked out of the school.
What about fake fever and vomiting?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, how can we... we didn't get her on videotape, which we should have done.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you were with your friend there in the other car.
Because it's her word versus yours.
But if she had said to my droid, I am not actually sick and I'm faking this, we could have showed that to the teachers and brought her in.
Fine.
And everything would have been fine.
If she continues to vomit, that's on her. That's
right.
You can discipline her as you see fit.
Yeah.
And I have an awkward question.
Go ahead.
Since we're talking about vomiting, because I had a situation actually happened last night. Have you noticed a weird smell that is different from other human vomit coming from your toddler?
Not particularly. But
Parmesan cheese type odor, an Asiago, if you would. Odor coming from a...
I'm going to have to pay more attention next time.
Yeah, usually, please do the little wine-tasting waft of it.
Right. And usually our system is, you know, my wife will take her right to the bathtub to wash her off, and I'm going straight to the laundry. So maybe I don't get the full whiff of, you know, I'm just kind of focused on... So I haven't noticed that yet, but I like
Asiago
cheese.
There's something going on in my kid's stomach that literally... It's like he's trying to ruin that cheese for me. That's really like... Evidently, my love for that cheese is strong because it is not broken. And stride.
Right.
I will still down an entire wedge of Parmesan Romano Asiago bagel.
Yeah.
I love it
all. Are you Italian? Is that your...
No, I just like that cheese,
okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm redneck. English and redneck. That's all I have.
Where are you from?
I grew up in Modesto, California, but all of my relatives are chicken farmers and corn farmers from the grand state of Texas.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
A lot of culture. Mm-hmm. A lot of culture. But,
fantastic.
So there's... I always had this weird odor of vomit, and then my son has a weak gag reflex.
Yeah.
Which is very hard to not get frustrated. It's funny because when my wife and I get tired, we get frustrated. Like, here's what I imagine. I imagine that the Riles family is a much more pleasant family than mine. Like, I imagine I'm closer to what would be a quasi-traditional redneck household, whereas the Riles is, like, I would imagine is some kind of like Midwestern or Pleasantville comes to mind.
We like our country music, so I think we kind of wish we were more redneck than we actually are, because
you play redneck.
You know, we live in
LA. But there's no like yelling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is there yelling and like, stop that, cut it out, like that kind of stuff?
No, we definitely both discipline our daughter now.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say... I think we wish we were more redneck than we actually are. I think we're a little more clean cut.
Many people do.
Yeah.
This Honey Boo Boo show is going to do a lot for us. It's going to do a lot for our people.
No, after Drake did the show, I actually saw him a couple nights after at one of his comedy shows, and he's like, you've got to do that show because it's just nuts. His kids are running around during the show, and it's just insanity. He's like, I don't know how he's doing a podcast, but you've got to go check it out. You just have to witness... You know, you don't even have to let the show air, but just go over there and pretend you want to do the show. So, but now the kids aren't here, and
it
seems oddly calm.
You
offered me coffee.
I'll be honest.
There's a football game on. And
it's because I know Drake.
Is that what it was?
I'd had a previous interaction with him.
Yeah.
So, and I'd gone over to fix his light bulb.
Yeah.
So I felt like I didn't have to put on a facade, but so I wanted to put on a little bit of like a presentation.
Yeah.
But you could tell I didn't really clean the house very much. There's still a lot of clutter around. And then secondly, because of the day that I had, I told my wife, I said, listen, because I think I can't remember. We were talking about either like pubic grooming or something along those lines while my children were sitting right here.
Well, that's a,
That'll give you the theater of the mind for if you ever want to go back and listen to that episode. But that's what made him weird. And then my son gives, like, it'll literally be like, I want to punch him in his face. Okay, I love you. And then I'll give my kids good night. And then he goes away. So that's what I'm saying is the difference is that I feel like there in your house, it's more like there isn't that kind of stuff. Whereas in my house.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, it's, I'm not going to finish this show until the kids are here and screaming and
they
going
will.
Crazy.
They will come back.
So we're
going to,
this is going to be 3 hours. This is going to be 3 hours because I need to see that.
They
the
will come back and there will be,
and
there will be them entering and probably as we're wrapping up. If I know my wife, I don't know. See, again, this is unfair of me to do this, but I think it's a positive judgment.
Right.
That I imagine everything is rainbows. Like I imagine you come in from your hard working day of doing warm up for Ellen. Yeah. And then you come in and your wife is there like, oh, the children are sleeping and I've got this wonderful dinner for you. Hello, my husband. And you sit down, you eat dinner and then the kids wake up. Hello, father. We missed you all day. And you talk about their day and what she learned in preschool over the past 2 weeks.
Right.
I had tea time with the bunny. It was delicious.
Uh-huh.
And I think Babs should have a British accent.
Uh-huh.
And then you eat your dinner and then everybody just goes to sleep because everybody's been sleep trained.
Right.
And then you sleep through the night and wake up and you do it all again and that's how it happens.
We are the perfect family.
Yes.
You
and
are
now,
correct.
My wife, as much as I love her and would never do anything, like I would go to war with this woman because she is so amazing and in my corner, but she has a knack. She has a the way that Haley Joel Osment kid could see dead people.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's sixth sense is she's like, okay, when would be the most inopportune time? She has the inspiration to be like, okay, because I said I need to not be interrupted. So take the kids upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle it today.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, we're going to get out of here. We're just going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. That's
so
a great.
She knew that it was time to leave.
Yeah. So she's like, we're gonna, and that's why she told you when you walked in. She's like, we're gonna get lost, and she's gonna go out to dinner. Probably gonna cost me $100. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Which kind of sucks ass a little bit, but I'm like, okay, all right. I'd ask for it.
Right.
But just there's an inopportune time. It's not now, clearly.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking about it.
Right.
See, this would be an opportune time because I called it. This makes me look good. No. It'll be just as something is happening where maybe we're getting into a very serious topic that we're focusing on. She will walk in with the children.
All right.
And that is her sixth sense to just crap over whatever it is I'm doing. Not intentional. It's no malice, which is what makes it hard to be angry at a person.
Right.
When they're not trying to hurt you, they're just doing it. It feels like emotional deforestation. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know that
term. Okay, let me say, we're chopping down rainforest.
Please explain emotional deforestation.
We're chopping down rainforests, right? And there's, that's destroying ozone and all that stuff, right? But we're not really doing it to destroy the ozone. We're doing it because we need pencils and we need penny savers and ads and, you know, things of paper for kids to take to school and to draw on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's why we're doing it. We're not intentionally trying to destroy the environment and the planet, but we're just kind of doing it little by little.
Yeah.
We just chip away at it.
You had that explanation ready. Has someone asked you to explain that before?
No, I made that up
here.
I just made that up. Like I try to think of, my mind works where I try and think of something because I don't make sense. I think a lot when I talk.
That made perfect sense.
Yeah. Now you understand emotional deforestation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. She doesn't mean to. Which is you can't be mad. You can't really be mad at the loggers. You want to be, but they're just sitting there going, "We're doing our job, man. We're not. I'm not trying to mess up your day. I'm just trying to take care of my family."
Right.
You know, it's a little yin and yang situation.
Yeah,
like the Lorax, I guess. I don't know.
Is this whole unit mobile? Can we actually walk towards them at the park or wherever they are?
We could.
Is anything plugged in?
It is. Everything is plugged in.
Okay.
But I imagine. I mean, we could just take this.
I want to find
your
family.
Mixer.
I want to find.
You have the droid. I could track my wife. I have like a chip, like a dog. This ought to be great. You could go home.
Oh,
and
you
say,
can see where herself. Phone is right
yeah
now.
I could tell her I like that you added cell phone. I like to think that it's actually her.
Yeah,
I like to know where she is. And a lot of people, I like to tell people this because other people that don't know me hear that I say that I track my wife,
right?
And they judge me. They're like, what
a little
do you think
tip if you're ever doing this show live, don't track your wife on air and let everyone know where she is.
That's a good point.
You know,
that's a good point.
Because
let's see where she is now, because here's why I do it though. When I am gone on the road, then I will try to call her after or before a show, depending on what time zone I'm in. And if she doesn't answer the home phone and she doesn't answer the cell phone and I know that she should be at home, I get worried.
Yeah.
But then if I track this and I know, oh, she's at home and she's not answering,
right,
that means she's busy with the kids. And now I get it.
Gotcha.
Of course, now it's not working very well for me to track her. But I think that's nice. Don't you think that's fair?
Yeah, that's cool.
I like that. Nice. We have... did I step on anything?
No.
We have this. We had this lined up to see because I think it would be fun to talk about is 15 birth stories you won't believe. Every once in a while, I signed up to try and promote the show on parenting.com. They have like a message board area, and then that signed me up for emails, and I usually hate them, but occasionally I get one that I'm like, this sounds interesting. I think what better than to hear dads talk about moms and their perspectives on giving birth. So this is from moms who spent weeks and even months in labor to those who gave birth without ever knowing they'd been pregnant. Can you imagine that happens? Like, honestly, I don't know. Tell me if I'm putting you on the spot, Tommy, but can you honestly imagine a situation where a woman does not know she's pregnant?
I can't, but I've seen, I forget the TV show.
Yeah.
There's that one show.
Didn't know
where,
I was pregnant on TLC.
Yeah. But I mean, and she's, and they're like 36, 37 weeks in, then they go to the fridge to get, you know, get
and
something, and then boom, the baby, they deliver the baby immediately.
Yeah.
I think that's the most beautiful way to give birth.
Right.
So if you can, you know, hide from your husband that you're pregnant, so we don't want him to have to go through any of the struggles or any of the worries, because it's all about the husband, the boyfriend, whoever impregnated the lady. It's all about him during pregnancy. So I think in general, women should hide that they're pregnant as long as possible so he can relax and continue his life and then be a better dad.
Yeah, I agree. And then you kind of overplan things if you know too much, 9 months of preparation.
Right.
Then you're overly involved. You don't let the kid kind of develop their own sensibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I'm gonna change my mind on this. You're a very good convincer, Tommy.
Yeah.
I came down hard on this. Like, why wouldn't you? But it is the ideal way. So, ladies, before you plan it, when you get married, throw on a good, easy 80 pounds. That way you can have a kid and not even know it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best situation.
Why wait until you get married? Woman,
yeah.
When you're in college, when you're graduating college, start gaining LBS right away.
And I think that a lot of ladies listening to this at first hearing of it, they're going to judge it and go, you assholes. But hear us out. Because I think another solid point of this is that you have friends. Maybe you didn't do it, but you have friends, or maybe it happened to you. When you get pregnant, all of a sudden your mind plays tricks on you. It takes away the hypochondria of pregnancy where it's like, oh, I have morning sickness. No, I just got a stomach bug.
Yeah.
When you know what I mean? You're still going to work. You're not going, oh, and you know what I mean? You're moving around. You're not worried about lifting anything under 25 pounds.
Right.
You could still plow a field the way God intended, you know, working in the fields. I don't know if you imagine this, too. I imagine, and it's stupid, but I do imagine that I laugh at sometimes when I see, like, girls that are pregnant or whatever, even if they're friends of mine, that they're like, oh, so hard. Oh. My dad had a coworker that his wife hated being pregnant, just did nothing but bitch and moan. I'm like, do you think that would have gone over in like the 1800s? You know what I mean? Where it's like you have to work and chop wood in order to stay alive. Do you think that there was still a thing like, I got to go lay down? Do you think we have an unfair, I guess, analysis of how life was in the 1800s?
That's a very good question. I
come with the hard hitting ones. I don't know if you know this, Tommy.
Yeah.
I didn't get hit the Drake with this bullshit.
I signed off on no. I thought all the questions were going to be 1900s and
yeah. I know that's what you prep for, and
so,
that's what I came at.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
That's what your publicist said.
You threw
no
the
questions about 1800s,
yeah.
And that's where that's a sign to me. That's you're trying to hide something.
Right.
And that's what the people that listen to the show want to hear about.
Yeah.
What does Tommy Riles feel about the 1800s?
What do I feel about the 1800s? Well, my name, Thomas Riles, goes back about 6, 7, 8 generations. So that might bring us to the 1800s.
Oh.
Does that bring us to the 1800s? No, I guess 7 generations would be in... No, that would be in the 1800s.
Yeah,
easily. Because my grandfather was born in the early
1900s. Because isn't a generation like 60 years? Am I right?
Yeah, something like that. So yeah, there were some Thomas Rileses alive in the 1800s. and I'm just going to talk about them because I totally forget the original question. So
pregnancy.
Way back,
what I'm saying is that if you took a pregnant woman today and dropped her off in the 1800s, and I'm not talking because here's the thing: I always feel like people go, "No, women are." I know not all women are like that. Most women enjoy being pregnant and they get it, but there's that person like when you see them go through pregnancy and they sap it up. You know, it's like it's not a disease. You know, that's what my mom said to this chick.
Right.
Coworker. He's like, you don't have a disease.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
No, Suri's going to try to chime on this. She said, I'm not sure I know what you said there. That was funny.
Now I totally get you. Yeah. You know, well, obviously there was no medication back then, or there were some maybe, but not what we have now. You know, for the epidural is the first thing that comes to mind, mm-hmm. you know? So the woman, if
there was
they
a
so
stick,
choose,
that was your epidural. That's you bit right. on a stick, yeah. I imagine.
I mean, I'm sure there were a lot more sicknesses in babies, not to get depressing, back then because they didn't have the medicine to fix it
right.
and such. But women survived back then. I mean, without, you know, without, have, like you said, having that comfortable bed to lay on, without, you know, all
there's
these
no
different
recourse,
things.
So
babies
why,
still
you know, why
were born, and most of the time were probably healthy, you know.
And so, I guess here's why, because I'm trying to think, why would I even think of that?
Yeah.
And I think it's because I would much rather see a chick like, yeah, I'm pregnant. Guys have this. Guys that listen to the show, their wives, they're thinking, like, my wife wasn't like this. She was a fucking trooper. Like, she was, right. like, ready to go. So, like, to me, I feel like those women deserve to be pampered. But it's just like this guy who's dodging the insurance. You know what I mean? He doesn't deserve to get it for free. Oh,
yeah.
See, there's an inopportunity. That's my wife texting.
They
Let's
found
see what
her?
She says.
Oh, it's from her.
She says, I will get you food. See?
Oh.
So there will be food coming back, and it's probably going to be in about 10 minutes. So.
I went to Wendy's before I came here, and I had their new spicy guacamole chicken sandwich, which was pretty fantastic. So
you like the spice?
If she's going there, I would recommend that.
Recommend that?
Yeah.
No, she's just going to get me. See, this is her trying to do what she thinks is right, which I think is good, is that instead of she this is an example of my wife. I love her to death. I know the people listening to this show think, oh, he doesn't like his wife. I love her. But here's an example. She doesn't ask me what I want because she knows I'm doing a podcast
right.
and knows that I can't tell her what I want
yeah.
and that will frustrate me. But she doesn't have, but so she's just going to get me something.
Well, can we give her a long answer of what exactly you want?
No, well, or I guess that... we could, but my point is that, but that doesn't stop her from still sending a text message. I was like I'm going to say, you know what, Tommy, I really like doing the show with you, but
right.
let's move this into the kitchen. I'm going to pull together a quiche real quick because I am dying of starvation. Mm-hmm. I can't go another 20 minutes without shoving yeah. food in my fat face. You know what I mean? So she still has to tell me, my poor wife, she can't win. I'm such a horrible husband.
No, you're not. You're a good. You're a good.
Maybe this is a thing. Do you have things in your marriage that yeah. are like that? Do you have little things that you feel like you nitpick on your wife? Or are you the traditional guy
right.
who doesn't know what's going on?
No, I mean, I feel like both of us definitely do. You, especially with kids, you go through these phases where, you know, everything can be really challenging, you
yeah.
know, and then it's so much easier to get on someone else's nerves because no two adults are exactly the same. So the way she thinks something should be done is different than the way I think something should be done, and vice versa.
And what you mean then, by that is that the way she thinks it should be done is wrong, and the way you think it should be done is right, right?
That's what I think, yes.
Yeah.
And then she thinks the same thing on her
no,
end.
That's
yeah,
irrelevant.
Yeah.
this is the dad podcast.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Forget the wives.
Yeah, this is your chance to be right.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I think we both do our best to... Yeah. No, actually, we don't do it. I mean, that's the problem. We used to be better at, you know, pushing certain things aside and picking and choosing your battles. But
yeah.
somehow when kids are in the equation,
it heightens
I
it.
Mean, your life is insane until when they both go to sleep at 8 or 9 p.m. or whatever, you know. And then you have like an hour or two to be a couple if you want to be a couple, or you want to just be the heck away from each other for that hour or two, you know?
Do you have, and tell me, because I understand if you're like, no, I don't want to talk about myself all the time, but
right.
do you honestly have those moments where you're like, I just don't want to be, I want to be by myself, not near my wife?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You don't?
Uh-uh.
No?
I crave being with my wife, but away from my children, and
right.
that I feel horrible about.
Yeah.
I carry so much baggage and guilt that is unnecessary, but I do feel like I'm like, I love these children, clearly,
yeah.
but I have these days where it's like, I wish you would go away.
Right.
I wish that your grandparents lived 20 minutes or even, I don't know, 45 minutes away
yeah.
that I could just go, I can't today. I love you, but I can't today. I got to, but it's hard because it costs me $170 every time I need to go away with my wife and have somebody come here and, you know, watch the kid or whatever.
Right, right, right.
But I like, and it's funny because she aggravates me. But I love being with her.
Oh, good. No, and don't get me wrong. I love being with my wife.
But I know,
I think we both. We were both pretty independent people before we met. So
how old were you when you guys met?
26.
Yeah,
26. Yeah, we got married at 28. We were both 28 when we got married. Yeah, but so we're both pretty independent, so we both like our time. I mean, she, after a crazy day with the kids, her first thing to do is to watch, you know, The Real Housewives of something or another, which I'm not into at all. So
really?
It's me going into the going into the other room to watch sports or being on the computer, catching up a couple things on the website or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So I think we both like that time, and then that makes us like each other that much more as soon as we kind of, you know, reconnect.
Yeah, you have that. Well, that's what I have, too, is that when I go, I don't know, like... You do mostly warm up, am I right?
Yeah, yeah. So I actually don't do that much stand up. Yeah, yeah. Or any, I should say. I don't really go out and tell jokes. Even my warm up act is just mostly high energy games, yeah. Fun stuff.
Which,
you know,
it's so fun. But that's I don't know. Like, maybe it's worth talking about. But that not that your life isn't worth talking about.
Right.
Your job, I think
that
it might be hard for people to be like, oh, I didn't know that. But I think it's interesting is that for those of you who don't know, like there any show that you see, like a sitcom or talk show, has somebody that'll come out and do anywhere from, I'm guessing, 15, half hour, could be an hour of time, depending on what's going on production-wise.
Exactly.
And every time that it goes to a commercial break, if they don't have a band, then someone like Tommy comes out and is like, hey, all right, let's, you know, to keep everybody laughing and keep everybody going. I would like, I've never seen anybody do it. I saw one TV thing I did that they did it, and the poor guy was just struggling. He was having a rough go. Nobody was helping him.
Right. What kind of show was it?
It was a stand up taping. It was when I did Comics Without Borders.
And yeah.
He was just thrown to the wolves out there.
Right.
And they had one audience. And this is what I don't understand. I don't know. With maybe a show like The Ellen Show, it's different, but. Like on a sitcom, I've heard that they'll do a 12-hour day or something, and they'll rotate through the audience, but an audience might be there for 2-3 hours.
Oh, easily.
Just sitting there waiting for the next part, and you got to keep them invested.
I've had an audience from, and not a doubt, Ellen is a great gig.
Yeah.
I mean, Ellen is a stand-up herself, so she wants the audience to be happy the whole time. So the audience gets in there a half hour before the show starts. The show only goes an hour every day, and then they're done. So they're in there for about an hour and a half. But I've worked on other shows, game shows and such, where we'll bring an audience in at 9 a.m. and a lot of them are paid folks.
And they the Price is Right. That poor guy, they've been there since 5 a.m. or even earlier trying to get tickets.
Right.
It's an 8-hour venture just to get in and watch The Price is Right live.
Yeah.
Oh, so miserable.
Yeah. No, I've been on one show. I had an audience from 9 a.m. until about 8 p.m. So I mean, you're talking 11 hours.
The same audience.
Same audience.
And that was a game show?
Game show, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it was the show 1 vs. 100, the first version of hosted
with
by
Saget?
Bob Saget. Yeah. So just and all the and a lot of the people were paid. They're paid to be there because you can't get a normal person to be in an audience for 11 hours. Who's going to do that?
Which is funny to me because and not that you don't deserve to get paid, but I imagine if I'm in your shoes and they're paying people, they'd be like, well, what do you need me for?
Like
I would kind of nudge them and go, listen, guy, we're all getting a paycheck here. Let's come on, let's help each other out. Like
exactly. Well, and with them, that's the thing with an audience like that. If they're all paid, I mean, the people from that. I might see him the next day doing another show because that's their job. Or I might see him on a third TV show a week later. So it's almost more than comedy at times. It's just kind of being their buddy. And you just have to be, you know, even if you're talking off the microphone, just being friendly to them. Because if you're funny, that's awesome and that's great for the first hour.
Yeah.
But then you have 9 more hours to go, you know?
Nobody. So, I don't care. Even Carlin couldn't do stand-up for 9 hours.
Yeah.
Just get up there making people laugh for a 12-hour day. Like, that's the same people.
Right.
That's hilarious. But so what got me onto this is that, like, I think your job is quasi-traditional in that you go, you punch in, and then you come back at the end of each day.
Yeah.
I leave for like 5 days at a time, and so that distance does create that I really crave being with my wife. I don't have, and if I'm here though, I realize I get angry and cranky, not for the reason that I'm here, but I think it's because I'm not doing what I really like doing, and I'm not aware of it because I do love my kids and being around them.
Yeah.
So I have to remember because I just did a movie in July, and I had to block out like 3 weeks. So I was home for 2 months solid with no work, and I just got, I was a bear. I bet.
Well, and are you you're the stay-at-home dad. Your mom has the more traditional Your wife has the more traditional
job. She also is my mom. Yeah. Yes, my
Your mom / wife. That's a traditional way.
Yeah.
Back in the 1800s.
As it should have.
Easy, pregnancy was easy, and you were the wife and
you
the mom.
You just worked.
All at
everything
once.
Was better.
Why can't we go there? Back to my Thomas Riles.
All we need
original.
Is penicillin. That was already there. That's it. Life would be so good. Forget the iPads. That's funny. Yeah, I'm the stay-at-home parent. What were you going
to
say?
No, I forget exactly, but I must say hats off to you. I know So my wife is a stay-at-home mom, and that's so much harder at times than going to work. You know?
It's funny because anybody who's been listening to the show from episode one with Bill was around, not episode one that started this year, but when it started like 3 years ago, we started the show and like the first three episodes, like, yeah, ladies, suck it up. Men are out there just killing pigs and bringing them back home, right. You know, and I was still a stay-at-home parent, but I only had one kid. You know, hold on. Oh, that could be.
Breaking news.
That's an email from my wife, or from anybody. So I would talk about how women need to suck it up on the show. And then I had my second kid and I was a stay-at-home parent. And then like my entire perspective has changed. Like if you're a dad and you listen to the show and you work for a living now, and here's my exception to the rule. If your wife handles it like a good, I'm going to say 70% of the time, you come home and she's got a smile on her face and she gives you a hug and a kiss when you walk in the door and things are nice and everything is good. You give that woman whatever she needs, because what she is going through to make that happen is hell and fucking high water, especially if your kids aren't in school.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not going to speak out of school again because I don't know what it's like. I imagine from my perspective that when the kids are gone 6 hours a day, that's just an abyss of time that I would love to wallow in right now.
Absolutely.
But your day is filled with just going to groceries and finding stuff and crying every 15 minutes. And there's no other real adult that you can talk to or interact with. And so, I mean, I guess it's hard if she, you know, for her to handle it. I tried as much as I can to put a smile on my face when my wife comes home and to have dinner ready when she comes home. The past like month, I haven't been able to do it because things have been so crazy. And that's my other point, is that if you have a wife that works and does all this crap, dude, seriously, whatever she needs.
Marry her.
Yeah.
Just go for it.
Make an honest lady. I mean, you're sure you're six kids deep, but that's all right.
Lock her down.
Get her in there. Put a ring on it, as Beyonce says. I'm so glad you're at least here to be funny, because I have no desire. I'm just realizing. When you find out that you just lost $9,000, it's pretty hard to be funny. I don't know how you could do warm up if you've had a really crummy day
and
go in and put a smile on your face. Is that a challenge?
It sure is. Like anything, and I'm sure it's the same with stand up too. I guess you could do stand up. You can be angry.
You could be like, this is my bread and butter.
On my best day, I get up there and I am pissed off.
It sucks. I've actually said this, is that when my wife isn't pissing me off, it destroys my career. if we honestly work through everything, I don't know what I would talk about. If my kids weren't annoying and everything.
Yeah, that's true. You can't get up there like
this whole show would shut down.
You know, kids behave this morning.
Everything's solid. Stay frosty, guys.
Had a good lunch. We took a walk. Let's see. The mailman came. That was cool.
But he was good. Or he came early.
I want to see that act.
Don't you always think about those people that talk about, like, if life was too good, it would be boring?
Right.
I hate those people. Even though I just said what I said, like, I would love to not have ever an issue with my wife or kids. I really, honestly, I would give up everything. I'd be like, this is everything is great. Everything is easy.
Yeah.
Everything is awesome. Do you think that it really takes away the spice of life?
If everything was perfect.
Great. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and it's funny, like what you were saying before about, you know, so we're not, it sounds like you're 70-80% redneck. We might be 10, 15, 20%. But when I get home, I mean, most nights, my wife is so spent that, you know, and she's great, but there isn't always that smile on the face. Are you kidding me? You know, I would say most of the time, she's exhausted. I'm just grabbing the kids from her because I'm just so thankful that she did that all day. Because I don't know that I could do it, but like I'm saying, that's harder. That's harder to do that all day.
I really think it is. I really do think that it. And it's honestly hard because I don't know, because you have your good and your bad times as with everything. So, I mean, I'm sure that a lot of us would like to say, well, you know, the job is hard, because that's what I try to think of. I try and think of, you know, as much as there are times when I sit here and I look at my wife in her little cubicle talking to people all day and go, I would literally pee in a fountain or grab a monkey's claw to change spots with you right now, even if it was for an hour and a half long arc of a movie. I would literally do that. But I'm sure that there would be some kind of lesson learned. But I don't know, and it's because I'm on the side that I'm on. And again, people who listen to the show know that it's not because I don't love my kids or love taking care of them. But Yeah, it would just really be nice to not have so much crap, like literally crap, like not crap like, oh, somebody's complaining again on the phone, like literally poop. There's a lot of poop in my world.
Yeah.
And just complaining about things that are insignificant to me. And it's hard because I try as much as I can to go, I know that this is important to you, son.
Yeah.
Because I'm talking to the insurance guy today about how I'm about to get hosed out of $9,000. And my youngest son had grabbed a PlayStation Move controller. Retail value, $40, let's say. And he's putting it in his mouth. My oldest son is losing his mind. Dad, look what he's doing. And I'm like trying to listen to the guy and explain to him, like, no, I need this money. You have to.
Yeah.
And my son, Dad, I'm like, just... And then I finally go, I'm doing this. And then I finally get off the phone and I go, I know that you think this $40 controller is important, but I'm on the phone, which is very fair to do to your four-year-old.
Right.
I'm on the phone talking about $10,000. That's what daddy's dealing with.
Right.
So again, when I'm on the phone, just please wait until I'm done.
Yeah.
Please. Why do you have to fight me so much?
Do you ever use their pain and the mishappenings in the house to help you on phone calls like that?
Oh,
so like if I'm on like the I'll call, I like to save money. So I'll call DirecTV once a year and say, you know, I don't know. I can't afford it, I'm going to be like, you know, I don't know. I'm just thinking of I did it a month ago. I said,
that's,
you know,
fun.
I was just checking out all, you know, all the new people that sign up are getting the NFL package for free, and I think we just might have to cancel if you don't. And then they were like, no, we can't, you know, you've been with us. But then my daughter started crying in the background. I was like, oh, perfect.
She wants to
so
see
I brought
something.
Her over and I was like, you know, it's just really, and I'm telling the lady this, it's just really hard being a dad these days, you know. And then my son wakes up and he's crying too, and they're both kind of getting
Ravens
at each
fan
other.
And he can't see any games out here.
Right. And I just kept her on the phone as long as I possibly could and just kind of complaining about, you know, and it's so, you know, I just can't be myself anymore without watching these games. And I don't want to pay for these games. I should be getting paid to take care of my kids, you know. And they're just a complete scene going on. And I'm, you know, for a couple minutes I was being a bad dad. I wanted them to cry, and I was letting them. Really?
Them.
Yeah. But eventually, you know, 10 minutes later, I had the NFL package for free, and life is good. So I'll be watching every game every Sunday this
fall. That's fun. Like, that's a fun little exercise in acting. I feel like you have to create a backstory of some kind.
Right.
Like, and they don't know. You could describe a double wide of some.
That's right. Yeah.
We're just trying to keep food on the table, and it's just hard with this dish network, you know. And
you gotta go.
I don't have that situation. I have the situation of every phone call that I make, I try to avoid phone calls, and the phone calls that I make are ones that I absolutely have to.
Right.
And so it always never fails because I manage the building. And then I try to do stand up. So it's like if you're trying to talk to a booker on the road in a club or something, everything has to be done when children are sleeping. Well, with my oldest, even though he's in preschool now, so that's 3 hours out of the day. And this is what I was telling my wife, is that I have 2 to 2.5 hours every day to get everything that I need to get done that I can't do with a child strapped to me has to be done in 2.5 hours. And so and then the time before that, the day before, has to be spent planning what is the most efficient way to get it all done, because if you don't do it in that 2.5 hours, you're not going to get another chance for another 24.
Yeah.
And so luckily my kid is cool and likes to kind of tinker with stuff. So if I have to fix stuff here at the building, I get a second nap now, then I'll bring him with me.
Nice.
But before, they would both be asleep and I would just, boom, I'd go crank stuff out and they would sleep twice a day. But now, oh boy. Oh boy. Yeah, it's rough. You don't have the time, and every time you're on the phone, they're talking in the background. And I needed this conversation because I feel like I'm kind of being a jerk. Oh, nope, that's my father. Go away, Dad.
Daddy-o.
This is such an unprofessional podcast. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
But what was I going to say? Oh, we could talk about, back to, remember all this started with paragraph one?
That's
of Versailles.
Right. Question one of 16.
Whoa, why did we not even give this? 61-year-old gives birth to her own grandson.
That's right.
Yikes. That sounds like it could be my family. After learning she was no longer ovulating and 2 failed pregnancies, Sarah Connell of Chicago, not even in the South, how dare I, was still determined to have a child. In a truly heartwarming gesture, her own mother, Christine Casey, offered to serve as a surrogate for her daughter. At 61, the grandmother passed a battery of tests and was cleared for postmenopausal birth. When the baby was born, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. What kind of tests do you think she has to go through?
To prove that the 61 year old.
I want
to
see like
that.
I want to see like a Rocky-esque montage. I want to see her punching some sides of beef in a freezer of some kind.
It should be if you want to have a baby at 61, it should be a YouTube campaign of sorts where you have to put the video up and prove to the world
that you can,
America, South Africa, and the world that you are able to have that baby. Now, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I think I've heard a story kind of like that before, and man, no, I'm not even kidding.
I know you're not, but in my head, the way that played out, it's like, that's not that shocking. Yeah, I don't really think. I mean, that's number one, really? I don't know. I wouldn't open with that. I've heard it before. Been there, done that. 61-year-old having a kid for a daughter.
It's pretty. I mean, I would encourage most, you know, whether your daughter who's in the 30s can have kids or not, I would say most grandmothers should be having babies for their,
I would agree with
for
that.
Their daughters.
Yeah, I mean, let's think
Why
about
stop?
It.
Why stop? This is the men were made to... To have relations with women who are made to have babies,
right?
And then and so much more beyond that. But, I mean, why stop at the traditional 35 or 40? Why not go to 65, 70?
Well, what this does for men, since this is a show for men, is that it allows the ladies in our lives to hang on to their bodies until they're, you know, no longer useful for any other purpose, if you think about it. I mean, nobody wants to ruin a 22-year-old bod with, you know, crapping out three kids. You save it for when you're in your 60s to do it for... although, how do you... That creates a weird chicken or the egg situation. I just realized that there's a... I don't know how that would work out because you'd have to be 60 before you had your own kid, I guess.
Yeah, so you're not going to be a grandmother if, you know, you're not going to have a daughter if you haven't had a baby until you're 60.
Nobody has kids until they're 60.
There you go.
There we go.
Easy.
All right, let's go to number two. Oh, or you have the opposite end. 12-year-old gives birth on field trip. That's weird. Like, you want to laugh, but it's not really funny. Like,
right.
It's kind of like...
I mean, the least funny part is the picture of the school bus, the, you know, the traditional yellow school bus that's right next to it.
According to Dutch Health Services, it's Dutch. It's not American.
Yeah, you can't believe the Dutch.
A 12-year-old girl was on a field trip. That's normal. Marital age is 10, I think, there. When she began experiencing severe stomach cramps, an ambulance and emergency services were immediately called to the scene. Upon reaching the girl, they were shocked to discover the girl was on the brink of giving birth in a nearby building. She was able to give birth and deliver a healthy baby. Not even the young mother had realized she was pregnant.
I think we just have to discard that because just for the sole fact that the country is actually called the Netherlands and they call their people the Dutch, which makes no sense. Do you know any reason behind that?
No.
Because I do not at all.
There's lots of things. I don't know if you listen, but I'm a big fan of Adam Carolla's, and he recently has talked about how the Dutch, like going Dutch, is where you have to, you split
going,
the,
it's oh, essentially yeah, saying
you're
deep. Right,
you're cheap is when you go Dutch.
Yeah.
And then there was something else called the Dutch board is a Navy term where it's just a hole in a board for a man to take care of himself, if you would. and that's not like, he's like, I don't know how these people make amazing ships and why did they get that?
Now
like,
their greatest story of the year, a 12-year-old giving
12-year-old giving birth,
bus.
You know. 23-year-old becomes world's youngest grandmother. Why is it that these are the most
Dutch? She's got to be Dutch. She went Dutch.
Riska Stanescu. It could be or Swedish. Might be IKEA. here's the thing. When I hear 15 birth stories, you won't believe.
Right.
Like I don't know. I wanted it to be like. But my first thought was, is I wanted a mom to like go into labor while parasailing. But at the same
time, beautiful.
Like, why would
just describe the scene a little bit more. Tell me what's the sky look like?
It's a tropical situation. Yeah. Not many people in the Great Lakes parasailing, you know? So I imagine some kind of Fiji, you know, the blue water where you could see down to the white sand all the way, like one of those where you live in a grass hut when you're at the resort paying $20,000 a day.
Right.
And, you know, so you go parasailing. You've got your two-piece on because you're pregnant. You want to show off the nice belly. And you know, you're excited. And then all of a sudden you...
Does she know that she's going to give birth that day?
No, I don't think that was part of the plan.
Okay.
I think this is a pre-birth vacation is what I'm seeing play out. And she's up there in the air. And then all of a sudden, uh-oh, baby's coming. Yeah. Now, a normal person would, you know, maybe try to chew off the line so she'd come down because she's waving. And all that means waving is like, you're having fun or higher. You know, you get to do the... mid-80s anytime anybody did water skiing or that joke where it's like, no, I'm dying, he wants to go faster, like nobody's ever seen waving arms and go, I think something's wrong back there. No, everybody misunderstands that to be faster. This is amazingly great. So anyway, there's that kind of situation. She's way, so they go faster. So she knows that's not going to happen. So she's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it right. The baby is born, and the baby is doing some kind of reverse parasailing because it's going to be dangling from an umbilical cord like that.
Yeah.
That's when they realize, uh-oh, something's wrong. They slow down, and everybody's good. You know, that to me is a birth story that I would not believe.
I love it, and I'll tell you why. I'm obsessed with storks, you know? Is that the correct term? You know, they used to say a stork would deliver a baby, you know, on a bird. A bird has a baby and it's delivered. So that's the closest real life story I've ever heard to a stork birth. Woman slowly flying down a mountain, all family, spending way too much in Fiji and celebrating. And then there comes sister Jennifer, you know, slowly flying down the hill.
And catching the baby.
Yeah. Father waiting anxiously at the bottom. Oh, it's beautiful.
See, these are way more better.
Right.
I know we're, but like, I just feel like when I saw 15 shocking birth stories, I didn't think that it was all going to be about age or, you know what I mean? Or like being the youngest grandmother. That's not a birth story. Like, I want it to be, like, what else would be a fun one? Like, you know, we're walking around on Disneyland and my husband's in the line for Star Tours.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I go into labor and he's stuck in Star Tours.
Right, you
know,
right,
like,
right.
That's what I wanted to have. Yeah. Like, so I, you know.
And we want that one to be graphic, too. You want to hear about the actual labor and the
yes,
the blood. You know, the random bystanders that ended up holding up the legs. And I like where I'm going with this one. I was going to say you, but this is I'm carrying this one.
I like the idea of people walking by, and there's some kind of like water breaking splash, the mountain effect, where there's that kind of joke that could be done where they're walking by, like, oh, you got me, you know, but they don't know it's amniotic fluid,
right,
mostly saline, I think, is what that is. But that's what I wanted. I didn't want just all about, hey, I'm 23 and I'm a grandmother.
I think birth story number four is going to blow us away.
Okay, here we go. Birth story number four.
I'm a little nervous.
I know it's loading slow, so that's excited. A good sign, I feel. Why is that? Wow, parenting.com got angry at us judging them. Okay.
Yes.
Mom finishes marathon. See? Mom finishes marathon, gives birth hours later.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's right.
You were right, Tommy, as always. We know the benefits of exercising while pregnant. Why do they always have to open with that kind of goofy line? Like, we know this, but this is insane, right? But Illinois mom Amber Miller took it to a whole new level in the Bank of America Chicago Marathon with her doctor's permission.
Of course, she had sponsors. This was the she was working years on this.
What kind of OB lets a lady who's 9 months pregnant go, you want to run a marathon? That sounds like a great idea.
Right, right.
That sounds like, when they did that? The 1800s, and that's why I like it.
Yeah.
Women were running everywhere in the 1800s while pregnant. With her diet, Miller joined 45,000 other runners in the race to the finish line at 39 weeks pregnant. Wow. So that's 42 is full term. Am I crazy?
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
No, this one raises a good point because you hear a lot these days about the woman that takes steroids during pregnancy in order to do big physical events such as decathlons and triathlons and marathons. I'm making this up.
Just before
approaches.
You said that, I was like, this is what he's been doing the entire show, you dumbass.
Right.
Damn it, Tom.
So there's just way too – there aren't enough women that are – you know, I say steroids from the start. You know, just why not? This might be the only time you're giving birth, so why not make it a worldwide headline?
Yeah.
You accomplish something, you give birth minutes later.
And double bonus, if you do the roids while pregnant, you could smoke because lower birth rate, birth weight is going to come right back up with the roids.
Yeah, and everyone's always trying to figure out that balance, right? How a woman can safely smoke during pregnancy, and I think we have figured it out.
And I think it would be fun to see what kind of roid rage a baby would go through. I think anybody likes to see what a kid could do with a rattle when he's angry, hurl it in. More and more ER people coming to the ER with rattles embedded three inches into their skull, like, you didn't want to go to sleep, you know. Wow, that's Miller planned on running the first half of the 26.2-mile race and then walking the second half with her husband at her side. It was during the last half that her contractions started. After finishing the race and grabbing a bite to eat, the Millers headed to the hospital where Amber gave birth to their baby daughter, June. I want the rest of this read. Daughter June was then taken away by Child Protective Services because this chick is crazy. And the reality of it is probably is that the kid was super healthy. Mom was super healthy. And maybe I'm being a hypocrite for my own statement. But you know what? We don't have time to go through all of these. Yeah. We're already done.
Wait, can I share one story?
Of course.
Before we talk, how long have we been on?
We've already been doing an hour.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow, it flew by.
Yes.
Come on now. So this isn't quite a marathon story, and this story is totally true, unlike some of my others earlier. But
I still don't know whether or not to believe you.
Kind of similar to the marathon one. We bought a house last December. December 1st is the day we actually had to sign all of our loan documents on it. And it had to be that day because my wife was going to have a baby with him next week, and we thought it was going to be any time around then. Loan officers came to – we had actually moved into the house because we were renting it for a couple months just because we didn't want to actually be moving before or after birth, you know. So we actually started renting it. But then we were signing on to buy the house on December the 1st, and we had the officer at the loan officer at the house at like 8 o'clock that night. And my wife all day long was – and she was 9 months pregnant at this point, so she was feeling stuff going on. We kind of thought – as the day was heading on, that it was heading in that direction. So we told my parents who live in Orange County to come up, and they came on up to the house. So we signed all the loan docs on our house from like 8 until 9 and then left for the hospital at about 9:30 that night and had the baby the next morning.
Wow.
And then I also have a job where I don't really miss work at all, so I actually went to work later that day. So in 24 hours, we bought a house, we had a baby, and I went to work.
Wow. That's called efficiency.
Yeah.
That's very 1800s.
That's right.
I feel like people of the Tommy Riles of the 1800s would be proud of you.
My ancestors, and they were all warm-up guys, too, going all the way back to the 1800s. So that's our profession, and it has been long before television.
I couldn't think of what kind of show business happened then, so I think of like some kind of warm-up, like a cow-milking warm-up guy. Like he's like, nobody wants to grab a cold. Get the Riles family in there. He's going to warm them up. Mr. Miyagi's those sayings, gets them all nice and toasty so you don't get carpal tunnel by the time you're 22 and you're halfway through your life. Yeah. You know, you don't want to have to deal with all that.
Great. Well, this one's awesome, man. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem.
I had a total blast.
Well, we still have a little more to do. We're going to do Moment of the Week.
Let's go.
You know, you listen to the show, so we'll do a little Moment of the Week, and that'll be fun.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them.
I have used this song for editing, by the way.
Give you that one sweet
iMovie
one.
Song for those of you listening out
Garage
there. Can they still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, great.
Moment of the Week brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So mine with Jacob is it's a little bit of an unfair moment of the week, but because I've had a rough go. I don't think I've been a very good father, to be honest, as of late. But he said before Tommy got here, I went and picked up my wife at work, and we're coming in, and he was running through the parking garage, and he's at a height now where he's just right at a sedan-sized car mirror. And he just clipped it right on the corner of his eye, like just above his eyebrow. And it just clotheslined him and just cleaned his clock. And he started screaming. And I was tired and cranky and agitated because I found out I just lost $9,000. And so I go, okay, I got you. I picked him up and I was holding him. And I go, and he's just screaming at the top of his lungs. And I said to him, I go, screaming isn't going to make it feel better. I know it hurts, but screaming does not make it feel better. I go, you just got to hold it together. And this is what he went. Like such a jerk. But then I came up and I go, let me take a look at it. And he's like, is it bleeding? And I go, no. I go, but you're probably going to have a bump. He goes, it's bumping? I go, no, you'll have like a goose egg. There's an egg? No, it's fine. And then he put ice pack on it. And so that was pretty damn flippin' adorable. And then also, we have made the premature, while I was gone on the road, something always happens when I leave to go on the road. This particular trip on the road, my youngest son, Jack, got his leg stuck in his crib, and he screamed bloody murder because he was stuck with his leg, and my wife, being in the middle of exhaustion and sleep, couldn't figure out how to wedge him out. Like, it's hard when you're tired to go, well, it got in there, how do I get it out?
Yeah.
So she's like, I thought I was going to have to call 911. And I was like, oh, geez. Now, if I was there, if I was really tired, I would have just taken my hammer and snapped one of the slats just to break it free. Like, that's what I would have done. But it's unfair for me to expect my wife to think of that in the middle of the night. But so then what does she do? Now, when I come home from the road, we have to get a toddler bed. So we buy a toddler bed for my 14-month-old child. But he got to sleep. He was jumping on it. And so that was pretty freaking adorable. And anybody who's done this, no matter how old, that first time they make it between the crib and the toddler bed, you lay him in what looks like a little person's bed, but it's a regular bed. And it just makes him look so grown up and adult. And he just looks so freaking cute and adorable in that thing. Oh, God, that kid. I love him. I love them both. So those are mine. Let's, nice. Your turn now.
Now, does it have to be is it funny? Is it any moment of the week? Or is it usually something that's you struggle with?
The genesis of it originally was that we do a lot of complaining, right? So we wanted to button it up with a nice heartfelt, touching thing.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take you, whatever you need. Your moment of the week is your moment of the week.
Fantastic,
If you want it to be funny, if you want it to be touching, if you want it to be something you struggle with, that's your moment of the week.
I'm going to do two quick ones, if that's right.
You can do four for all I care.
Fantastic. First one is my daughter just figured out what our names are, my wife's name and my
name. Like real
name?
That's awesome.
Is kind of a cool thing because I don't think I knew my parents' names.
Does she call you Thomas or Tommy or Tom?
Tom. Because my wife calls me Tom, But I don't know if I knew my parents' name until I was 15, 16. Yeah. So the fact that she figured this out at 2.5 just kind of blew our minds. But you know what? My wife's name is Lucy. So, you know, throughout the house, I'll be, Lewis, come here. You know, help me out with this or whatever. And she, Tom, you know, that type of thing. My daughter will always do, you know, we'll ask her, hey, how does daddy call for mommy? And she'll be like, Luce. And then, how does mommy call for daddy? Tom. You know, and she's been doing that for months.
That's great.
But I just never knew if she put two and two together, knew our actual name. So I put her on the spot, which I like to do. And I said, daughter, Barbara, Babs. It's Babs only when we talk about her, but her name that we use is Barbara when we're talking to her.
Yeah, you form
her house. Barbara. What is mommy's name? And she said, Lucy. And I was like, yes, that's right. And what is daddy's name? Tom. And I was like, that's correct. So that was a pretty cool moment, I must say. She realizing that we're not just her parents, but we have names as well, just like everyone else in this great world, you know?
That's great. I like the Tom.
Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of times when my wife is calling for me, you know, I'm on the other end of the house and she's yelling my name, you know? So it's just so my Barb always goes, Tom, you know? And then my other one is I was, before I had kids, I was quite a germaphobe and wanted my hands to always be clean and all that. Goes away completely once you have kids because they'll eat whatever.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. My friend is kind of that way. He has a real queasy stomach too, and so I my thought is, I'm like, as soon as you have kids, you become desensitized to all things.
Yeah, I don't think you have any choice. And we have a dog, Duchess, who is really our third baby because she's only 9 months old as well. She's a lab. And,
well, you guys went all in. You opened a family in a box.
Right,
a kit. Like, and you're just like, well, we got married. You ready to have the family? Here's a dog. Here's a child. Let's do another one. Yeah.
all via parasailing. Yeah. They all landed together at once at this age. Yeah, we just started our family last Saturday.
Stork.com. Get your family in a box.
So total germaphobe, always wash my hands, even dislike shaking hands to some degree because you never know where those hands have been and all that. You know?
Did you know about the Howie Mandel fist bump?
Yeah, because I've actually worked on a couple shows with him. So, and I've done that too, the bump.
No, I'm saying, like, I always thought that I wondered if Howie Mandel made other germaphobes go, that's a great idea. I never thought of that.
Right.
Or if it was something that all germaphobes already knew. Like, that's just what we all do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. Right. Is that the case or?
No, I mean, I think that's what he did. If you're working with him, have you worked with him? Yeah, that's all that he'll do. He'll hug you too, so it's like hug or that, but it's just not hands.
He'll fist bump and then hug you,
you know, because someone's shirt and their chest isn't going to be that dirty, but their hands are, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, and how dirty can a fist be? I guess they could be dirty, right?
Yeah.
So but for the most part, people keep their fists
but if
clean.
You watch that movie Contagion, it makes you want to be like Howie Mandel.
Really?
Seen that?
I haven't seen it yet.
The first 5 minutes of it, it's like essentially it's setting up this is how a disease gets spread.
Yeah.
And you see all the examples, like the one guy goes achoo, and then you see how he touches this person, that person, then they touch one, and then it just like that everybody would interact with that door handle, like stuff like that, that you're like, oh man.
Yeah.
So I feel like that would make him cry in a corner. I'm sorry, I interrupted your story.
No, it's cool. But. Yeah, so total total germaphobe, but it got better once I, you know, had our, my daughter and then our son now, and then now the dog as well, because that just adds a whole other element of uncleanliness to the house and to everywhere. So my dog likes to play fetch, so throwing the bone and all that, and he won't let go of it. The dog is the exact same age as my son. They're both 9 months old, so they're actually best friends. Like they'll climb all over each other, get along.
Yeah.
The dog will never give up the bone to any of us. He'll always, you know, he wants to play fetch, but he won't give it to you. You have to fight it away from him, but my son, he'll give it to.
Oh.
Which kind of stinks, because my son's first reaction is to put anything in his mouth, as does any kid at that age, you know?
Yeah.
So, dog, much saliva all the time, always, all day long, delivers gifts to my son, who puts them directly in his mouth. So all day long, this is the process. You know, the dog licks something, sucks on it, whatever, then my son puts it directly in his mouth, and that is
they're best friends, Tommy.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's pretty nasty, you know. I don't think that's just because I used to be a germaphobe.
No,
I'm still kind of.
No,
better,
yeah,
but that's pretty nasty.
You didn't have to even include the germaphobe aspect of that story.
Right.
That's you're dead on. That's just normal human being or whatever you could call normal.
Right.
That's pretty gross, but awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, going along those lines, if I have 30 more seconds, so my wife when
you
she
can
was
take
born,
as much time as you need, bro.
Yeah, my wife when she was born. And she, by the way, her mom was 48 when she gave birth to her, so not quite 61, but 48, which is pretty old. And my wife is the youngest of 12 kids, Irish Catholic family, many, many kids. They had one kid every 2 years for 25 years. So anyway, she was 48 when my wife was born, and hospitals wouldn't let her in because they thought it was too high risk. It didn't make sense. So she had to give birth at home. They had a big St. Bernard in the room as the birth was happening. So my wife was born, cut the umbilical cord. Everyone went to celebrate, glass of wine, or whatever, put the baby in the bed for a second. St. Bernard came over, gave my wife her first bath, and just licked any piece of any blood or anything that's you've seen. These babies are nasty when they're born, you know?
Yeah.
So licked the entire thing clean. And then her parents, they'd had 12 kids, you know, you don't worry as much come number three, let
alone
12. They're
celebrating.
You know? So they let the dog lick the entire baby clean and until she was... family's back.
Just in the nick of time.
Yeah.
They made it back. Did you guys have fun? Oh, yeah. Jack loves microphones. He's a big fan of microphones.
Nice. Especially with orange and red covers, right?
He likes it, So completely first bath, lick clean.
Yeah.
All about do you notice any like canine type characteristics? Like she was raised by wolves?
She's definitely the dog person. So she loves animals. So,
that's so funny.
Yeah. She I mean, they always grew up with them. Whereas we didn't as much. So she loves dogs. So
it's kind of hard. I would imagine it's hard to be kind of germophobic even with a dog too. That's interesting. All right. Well, there's our moments of the week. I have a bunch of stuff to plug real quick, and then I will turn it all over to you, Tommy. So let me know if there's anything you need mentioned. But I'm going to be at Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale, California this week, September 13th through the 16th. I'm going to be at Flappers in Claremont headlining on September 21st and 22nd. But the big date I want to also plug is November 29th through December 2nd. I'm going to be in Old Sac, California, headlining at Laughs Unlimited, my first time headlining there. So please come on out. And then the big thing, available as we speak at justinworsham.com, my third album, I Love My Kids, I Swear. So if you have seen me within the last year, and love that material and wanted to get it, it is available for a digital download right now through justinworsham.com through the store.
Video or audio?
That's audio. Only. The audio. Thank you. And if you want the hard CD, it's going to be available October 1st. Those are actually getting made right now, and then you'll be able to buy it from there too. And if you're more of an iTunes person, you'll have to pay more for it, but it will be available there October 1st as well. And I think that's all that I wanted to say. Lifeofdad.com.
Just for anyone, any dads out there listening, it's a pretty cool community of dads out there. So you can sign up for the site, and it's kind of like the, you know, on a much smaller level, the Facebook for dads, where you can just kind of leave messages for each other, chat, share stories, start your own blog, start your own podcast if you want to, upload your own funny family videos, whatever you want. We've got it there.
That's cool. That's awesome. And then do you have a Twitter?
Twitter. Yeah, my personal one is Tommy Riles, and for Life of Dad, it's Life of Dad Show. So you can see me on there. Facebook, facebook.com/lifeofdad. is where you can find me. And
there you go.
That's what I, if I ever do the show again, I want that the entire time. I want the Drake Witham treatment where there are babies screaming everywhere.
And
I want
you
cooking.
Extra.
I want
Drake
you cooking
get my
dinner.
my wife carrying it like a football in the red zone, just running him up the stairs and snatching him, knowing he would squeal like a piglet.
Right. So next time, don't hold back.
I apologize.
Bring your cousins in. Bring their friends in. Have a. We'll do it at their birthday party.
There will be no focus whatsoever.
At this girl's birthday party that's going to get the Tinkerbell
Pixie Hollow Games
live show from there.
Well, thank you so much, Tommy, for
being
on the show.
Man.
We're definitely going to have you back.
Me.
So on behalf of my new friend, Tommy Riles, this is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty.